This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
All right, it's Overdrive for your Thursday, and I've got two more days of this gig, and then next week I go back to the Scott MacArthur Show 1 to 4.
Who's doing the Scott MacArthur Show now?
Mike Hogan.
But so is it called the Scott MacArthur Show?
With Mike Hogan? I think so.
Because I used to like it when they did the like the CBS Evening News. You say, the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather, and there'd be Connie Chung sitting there.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, that's not Dan
that
Rather.
That does not look like him at all. So my point is, as Gord Miller chimes in, I finally found a co-host who's going to hang with me for more than a day. You're here today.
And tomorrow.
And.
But I didn't know that.
Tomorrow.
I was unaware of this whole situation with you. Like, I might have changed my schedule.
Really?
Well, no, I just, you know, I mean, I could have arbitrarily done it. I don't think that I just said, oh, Scott MacArthur's working out.
So don't get too big for my britches.
Although I will say this, it's my 15th wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations.
And I'm here today. That's a huge hit on the home front.
Well, this is the thing.
Enormous hit on the home front.
How far is your drive home after work?
Well,
because it's a late dinner, Gord.
Yeah, and I got to say, I wasn't anticipating how long it would take to drive in today.
So where do you come from? Like
Young Eglinton area.
Oh, dude. So did you go up the DVP? First of all,
no.
And I don't think I need to tell you this. Eglinton is a war zone.
Yes.
A war zone.
Yeah. So I came up Young Street to the 401 and came across that way. I can report the traffic, by the way. The collector lanes on the 401 eastbound, east of the Don Valley Parkway, are completely, give me a beep.
Crappy.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Locked down.
Yeah. Messed up. Yes.
I come up the DVP every day.
Oh, because you're a downtowner, right? You live right downtown. Right. You're like a young
urban
young guy living downtown, living the life.
Well,
that used to be me.
Yeah.
Years ago, that was me.
And now?
1,000 years ago, that was me.
Really? No, you're not that old.
Yeah, I'm not old. Well, I'm not.
What's old?
I don't know what old is anymore.
Like, they always say 40's the new 30, 50's the new 40, 60's the new 50, or vice versa, whatever.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. I don't know.
Like, I don't know what old.
Maybe 50's the new 60. That
you know what
bad.
Old is 10 years older than you are now. And then when you get to that point.
Then it's 10 years, yeah. I think old is when you go to the World Junior Summer Camp and the players are born in 1999 and 2000.
I could be your paw.
And you realize, like, I think I bought these shoes in 1999. Like, I have shirts from that time.
In some southern states, Gord.
Yes.
You could be some of those World Junior players' grandfather. At this point, right?
I'm 52.
That's I said in some southern states.
Let me just do the mental gymnastics there and try to get my mind past that. How old are you, by the way?
Well, you see, you tweeted this. Okay.
I didn't tweet your age.
No, you didn't. But you tweeted back on Overdrive 1050 this afternoon with Scotty Mac Thinks, I like to help the young up and comers in the business. Yeah. So that made me think that you think that I'm young.
Well, you are.
Okay, but what's young?
I think if you're under 40.
Okay, all right. Well, you're right on that front. But I think you think I'm...
Under 35?
I think you think I'm younger than I am.
Under 35?
I'm older than 35.
Okay, so you're between 35 and 40.
There you go.
Not for nothing am I a highly respected...
Right.
Intuitive...
I'm 38.
38.
So I'm within 2 years to 40.
Will that be a difficult time for you?
No, I don't care. Honestly, I didn't care about 30. I don't care about 40. Was 50 tough? Because I've spoken to people who've turned 50.
I had a great time. My 50th birthday party was great. I had a great time. No, I feel great, you know.
But, Gore, I've spoken to people who've turned 50 and said 30 and 50 were more difficult for them than 40. I've done the 30 thing. I don't care.
You know,
40, I really don't. I'm shrugging my shoulders about it. 50, I'm not entirely sure, but it's so far off, I haven't even given it any consideration.
So my brother-in-law and his wife had a baby last year, and I realized that when she graduates from high school, I'll be 70.
See, that's a...
So that was sort of a whoa moment for me.
You know who struggles with the age thing more is the parents.
Yes.
Because, you know, my folks are saying, well, we can't believe we've got two kids in their 30s and that the oldest one is approaching 40. And
right.
We don't feel our age, but your age reminds us now, of how old we've gotten.
The other thing is I've been, you know, I started when I was 17. So I started in 1983.
In the business?
Yeah, in April of 83.
What were
17.
You doing at 17?
I was working at CBC Edmonton, helping them do highlights on the weekends.
Okay.
And then TSN started in 1984, and two of our guys, John Wells and Peter Watts, went to TSN. So they hired one guy to replace John, Chris Cuthbert, and then they...
Seems like a pretty good decision.
Yeah, they did well on that. And then they auditioned for the other spot, which I temporarily held for the next 2.5 years.
So you held it on a temporary basis permanently for 2.5?
I signed essentially 16 consecutive... 12-week contracts.
Wow, living on the edge as a young guy.
And they would I would sit there at 9 o'clock at night typing up the late sportscast on my manual typewriter. Kids, there used to be these things called manual typewriters with a ribbon, and anyway, and they would be auditioning people at 9 o'clock was when they auditioned people for the job. So I'd be typing away and watching, like, and, oh wow, he's all right. Nah, that guy won't get it. And I'd be watching these guys thinking, is that the guy that's going to kick me to the curb? And then finally, my boss called me in and said, we're going to hire you full time.
You're it.
And then, in the classic piece of negotiating, he said to me, I can't do this with you. Let's go to the bar and do your contract. Now, he was a professional drinker. He had a bottle of Ballantine's in his desk, a 26er, every Monday morning. It was gone by Friday afternoon. And I said, I'm not going to the bar with you. He said, okay, you write down.
What, was he trying to get you blitzed to talk you into $20,000 a year being one hell of a salary?
He was a mentor to me. He was a great guy. Right, he just didn't want to do the contract. And so he said, you write down on a sheet of paper what you think you should make, and I'll write down what I think you should make. So this is 1985, I guess. Late 85.
Okay, so before you throw the number out, I want to know, how do you approach that? Do you think to yourself, so, I'm going to shoot for the moon here because what the hell he can tell
so,
me
so
no.
My neighbor's older brother was a lawyer, and I knew he'd just been hired as a first-year associate at a law firm. He was making $40,000. And I was like, well, I didn't go to law school. And so I figured, okay. So I said, I wrote down $30,000.
Okay.
So I passed him the piece of paper. My boss passes me back his sheet of paper, $42,000.
Oh, no. No.
So now, what you should do in that case...
You've lowballed.
What you should do, just take his offer. What you should do in that... Like, you should just say, okay, I accept your offer.
You didn't hike your pants up and be like, oh, yeah, I'm Big John Studd. You went for more?
No.
Oh.
I wrote down 30, dude. Like, I was like... So he wrote down 42. He said, let's split the difference and go to the bar. So I did.
So 36.5?
36.
36. Yeah. Okay.
So I took 36.
Yeah.
And I said, I called my best friend that night and said, if I can make this for 5 years, I'll be set. If I could just last 5 years in this job, I'll be set.
Making 36.
This is 1985.
Right.
Right?
But so, it ain't $36,000 in one lump sum.
What I should have done was just say, I take your offer.
Right.
I didn't do that. That began a long history of me negotiating poorly with my boss.
What's the old Seinfeld thing?
Yeah.
Jerry, when George keeps getting their pilot offer whittled down.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole point of negotiation is to get your price to go up.
Go up. that was a poor bit of negotiating by me.
All right. And that was the time you hired the agent, or you continued
I only had an agent once. No, I had an agent once, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was how I started. Yeah, so all of you driving home who have now fallen asleep, listen to the story of how I started 30 years ago.
No, it's fascinating.
God, it's 35 years ago.
I'll never forget, because I came out of school and I had been...
Where'd you go to school?
Algonquin College.
Okay, yeah.
Up in Ottawa. So I'm one semester in, and I'm an Oakville kid, so I'm a GTA kid. And I remember walking into my teacher's office probably a week or two before the Christmas holiday began, and I said to him, Ian, great teacher, he unfortunately passed away last year. I said, Ian, I'm going to work in radio this summer, and I am going to stay in Ottawa. I'm not going to go back to Oakville. And he says, interesting. Team 1200, which is now TSN 1200, they have an opening for a student. I said, great, because I'm still in school. I'm putting a lot of time into that, so I don't have a lot of time to, you know, get a full-time job or anything. It says, board op, technical producing shift, one night a week, starts Saturdays at 10 p.m., ends Sundays at 8 a.m.
8 a.m., there you go.
A 10-hour shift. I jumped right on it. And then, of course, you get into the building, and you start to meet people, because you start working weeknights the following summer and all that. And anyway, by the time I'd graduated, I was reading news at CFRA, which is the legendary news talk station up in Ottawa. And I remember September of 2002, my news director calling me in, throwing a piece of paper down and saying, Scott, we want to hire you full time. And I was like, awesome. Great. I'm going to get my teeth cleaned for free at the very least.
It's going to be unbelievable. I'll get glasses.
I flipped the sheet over.
I don't need glasses, but I'll get them anyway.
And you have no idea what the dollar figure is going to be. Yeah. And I think, and I'm telling this story in part in jest and fun, but I think a lot of people who listen to us think we make way more than we actually do.
Well, you do now. You do now.
You do now.
Like you're.
Oh yeah. Like
I just saw you blow a nose into a 50 on the way in.
Well, this is just
unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, I throw hundos out.
Yeah.
Like they're trash. $27,000 a year.
In
02. That's where it started. But that's radio.
Yeah.
As opposed to TV.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's how it all began. $27,000.
I almost took a job in Fredericton, and my boss told me not to because he knew John and Peter were leaving. He lined up the job in Fredericton for me. I was all set to go. I even got an apartment in Fredericton. And then he said, don't go. I said, you got me the job. What do you mean, don't go? But he knew John and Peter were leaving. So, but that was a time in Edmonton, too, when there was so much in sports going on, right? Like the Oilers had won the cup in they'd been to the final in 83, won the cup in 84 and 85. The Eskimos were, you know,
City of Champions.
Really good.
Was that Warren Moon?
Orrin Moon left in 83.
Okay.
But this is, you know, they won the Grey Cup and went to the Grey Cup in 86, won in 87. Kurt Browning was the world figure skating champion. Like, there was just so much going on there. They needed people. So it was a different time then, too. Like, the local sports on TV, because there was no sports. I mean, the sports desk started in 84, right?
Right.
And that changed the landscape. Sports desk, which became Sports Center, changed the landscape.
Right. I think when we hear these old stories, Gord, we totally forget about the context of the time.
Right.
We live in a world now. I mean, I grew up, I can remember having a rotary phone at home, and we didn't have an answering machine.
Right.
Like, this is, you know, I'm five, six years old in the mid-80s. But it feels like when we talk about this, we put it into the context of now. Like, I'm just assuming, Twitter existed and none of it did. You didn't have cell phones
and
or
5
anything.
Minutes after a game ended, you know, you're not dialing up the highlights on your phone. In fact, in Edmonton, on the weekends, a lot of the games weren't on television, so we'd show the highlights on film the next day.
And it was new to people.
So at 6 o'clock on Monday night, that was the first time you saw the Oiler highlights from the night before. Now, you know, if I want to see the highlights of a football game or whatever, I mean, it's on my phone in minutes.
I have clear recollections of being a kid, following the Blue Jays very closely, and they would go out west to Oakland and Anaheim, and some of those games would be on TV, but most of them would not be back at that time. And sometimes it would be Sunday morning before you knew how they did on Friday night.
If you
didn't listen to the radio on Saturday, because the paper couldn't get the late box scores.
The paper didn't get the box score,
so you'd have to wait. Like,
all you youngsters out there, you don't know what you got going for you.
And I used to walk uphill to school.
Both ways.
Both ways in snow.
Those were the days.
So you've had a busy week.
Yeah. Yeah.
You haven't just been putting your feet up here in the GTA.
Today. I had my feet up today. I'll tell you that right now. I went to Halifax on the weekend. Went to Sidney Crosby's Stanley Cup celebration and his 30th birthday party. Hard to believe. That's a punch in the gut.
Are you allowed to talk about what went down at Sidney's 30th birthday party? Because
I didn't sign a consent form. Right?
Okay, no, because he is. I think of all the star athletes in North American sports, I don't know if there's a guy that we know less about.
Mm-hmm. And he wants it that way.
No, and absolutely.
Yeah.
More power to him. But what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying? It's like, man, this guy has been a star. He's been in the public eye for 12 years as an NHLer. We all knew who he was when he was 14, 15 years old, ripping through junior towns with Rimouski.
Yeah. And went back to Rimouski on Monday.
Did he? Did you take the, he took the cup?
So he had a wow. There's a parade in Halifax on the August long weekend called the Natal Parade, like N-A-T-A-L. And so he decided he would do that as a Stanley Cup parade. So he paraded the cup through Halifax on the Monday. And then that afternoon, he flew to Rimouski and had a parade there, which is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Had a couple of his Rimouski teammates with him at the birthday. But a very small birthday party and just kind of a... Yeah, it was good. It was
so fun. What went down in Halifax?
Just dinner, and you know, he had a dinner at his cottage. It had a catered deal for like 75, 80 people, and family and friends mostly.
So when did you first get to know him?
I met him at the summer camp for the 2003 World Junior, which would have been July of 2002.
So he's 15, 14. Almost 16.
He's 14 turning 15, born in 87, right?
Yes, okay.
He's 14 turning 15.
Okay.
Right.
So this is 02, not 03.
Yeah, summer of 02. The World Junior is 03.
Yes, okay. All right.
It's the 03 World Junior, but the World Junior year is always when it ends.
Correct, yeah.
So it's the summer of 02 training camp, and I met him in Halifax. And he Halifax Minor Hockey had him in there, and I talked to him for a bit, met his dad and his mom, and yeah, I mean, two World Juniors and countless games later. And
Yeah. A couple of Olympic gold medals.
A couple of Olympic gold medals, a couple of MVP awards, a couple of three Stanley Cups.
Only back-to-backs in the salary cap era?
Yeah, he is remarkably like Gretzky in that it's almost like he always sees himself as others would see him and very rarely puts himself in a bad position. I don't know many people that have met Wayne Gretzky that have come away with a bad impression, and I would say the same thing about Sidney. I've told the story before, but last year we went to the Halifax Children's Hospital. And we had some time afterwards, and he said, "Where should we go?" I said, "Well, I was here last year with some soldiers. We went to a veterans hospital." He's like, "Let's go there." So we went over, just kind of popped in, and they had all these people sort of gathered in a main room, and a bunch of the guys said, "Oh, it's too bad Joe's not here." And we're like, "Where's Joe?" "Well, he's up on the seventh floor. He's blind and in bed. He's a Korean War pilot." And Sid said, "Let's go." So up the elevator we went and got to the door, and the lady says, "Joe, Sidney Crosby's here with the Stanley Cup." And Joe says, "Oh, sorry, Sidney, I'm a Montreal fan." And Sid says, "Who's your favorite player?" He said, "Maurice Richard." And Sid takes the cup and runs his finger over the Rockets' inscription. Right?
Really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's a really amazing person. He's just really quiet, very private. And, it was a nice function.
Yeah, because there are certain athletes... And their lifestyles off the court, off the ice, off the field may be totally different, and we would never know it, who manage to keep their public profile and their private profile completely separate. The most famous one to me, I know he was on the back pages in New York City and all that, but the one that has always amazed me most is the fact that Derek Jeter really doesn't have... Now, there are a lot of hilarious rumors and different things, but there is no stink... attached to Derek Jeter. And there is nothing negative.
Right. And
attached.
I think that if you look, if Derek Jeter goes walking down Fifth Avenue at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, he's going to attract a lot of attention. But if you are in that position and you just, you know, behave in a low key way, you'll keep yourself out of it. If you're clubbing all the time, which is your right, if you want to do that, if you want to go to nightclubs and do all that, but just understand...
If you want to be Manziel, you're going to get some cell phone photos.
Right.
And or whatever.
Especially now. What amazes me is that Jeter, Crosby, guys like that, in the cell phone, social media era, are able to live their lives and not get, you know, like, you're standing in line at a, you know, at a restaurant and someone, you know, if they did, but, you know, whatever. It's like click, click, click. That's the amazing thing. You know, like you lose your temper at a stoplight, which we all do. You know, but...
Oh, never, Gord.
Never?
No.
Really?
Never on the 401 either.
Do you know what I did yesterday? There's a contractor that's been working on our house.
Yeah.
He drives a big Dodge.
You didn't yell at him, did you?
Big Dodge Ram. So he always honks at me when he drives by. Good guy. Petri's his name. Real good guy and Finnish guy. So this black Dodge Ram... I was riding my bike yesterday and this black Dodge Ram pulled up and I went through the stops and he kind of honked at me. So I, hey, Petri, and I gave him the middle finger. Guess what?
You knew it was him?
It wasn't Petri.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Are you recognizable? You were wearing your helmet?
Wearing a helmet, sunglasses, but...
So you were incognito.
But now the guy's mad at me.
Yes.
The guy's mad at me. What are you doing that for? I'm so sorry. I thought you were somebody else.
I thought you were Petri.
But you were Petri. Yeah, whoops.
And he's like, who the hell's Petri?
Like, the guy's halfway out of his car, right? I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, no. Yeah, so you can do that in Canada.
Yeah.
There's certain parts of this continent you would not want to be.
So anyway, it was a nice function. He went back to the Children's Hospital, the Veterans Hospital, did all that, you know, did the parades.
How would you describe Sid's brand? Because to me, it transcends hockey. He's got some endorsement deals, but he doesn't live on social media.
No, he doesn't have social media accounts.
Exactly. So the way that a Marcus Stroman, for example, who's had a great year for the Blue Jays, but drives the brand constantly on Instagram and Twitter.
I think to almost a reverse extent, he tries to keep the noise down. Right? He really doesn't. It was funny because I talked to him during the playoffs, and you know, and everyone was talking about when he got hurt, you know, should he be playing, should he not? And there's this raging debate going on in hockey. He was completely unaware of it.
Really?
Well, yeah, he doesn't pay attention to it. Like, he honestly doesn't pay attention to it. He doesn't care.
But he's well aware, though, of his standing in the game. For sure.
It
was important to him to win that third Stanley Cup to bring him even with Taves, don't you think?
Yeah, I think to win three in a row would mean a lot to him.
Yeah.
But I think all he wants to be is a good teammate and to win. He wants to win. And he loves to win. He's intensely, intensely competitive at everything. And if it's throwing a football off the dock or, you know, whatever it is. And I think also the other thing that stands out about him is the work. Like, he was back in the gym Tuesday morning.
This is what makes elite athletes great.
Right. So he obviously has elite athletic ability, but he has worked to get the absolute most out of it. Like, he doesn't take time off. He's always looking at new ways to exercise, now he's working on flexibility. He's done a lot of work with flexibility. It's incredible. I mean, just the amount of work he does all the time. Like, you know, no days off. I did a game in Pittsburgh this year. They played the night before. They had an optional morning skate. He was in doing ropes in the gym.
Do you have any sense of what his diet is? Just like off the Brady realm, right?
Where he's not crazy like Brady.
Like, it's not just blueberries and salmon.
No, and quinoa. No.
Yeah, and kale or whatever it is they're eating these days.
It's a fairly regular, pretty normal diet.
He'll crush a burger.
I've seen him have a donaire, which is like the official food of Halifax.
Nice.
Yeah, I've seen him have a donaire.
He knows his roots.
Yeah, but no, I think. But just the work ethic is phenomenal. And I think that the one thing I saw being around Gretzky so long in Edmonton in those days was his need to be great every day was all-consuming. And so Gretzky's thing was, I think his dad told him this, is that every time someone sees you, every time you play, someone sees you for the first time and someone sees you for the last time. And it's important they both have a good impression.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I think it's from DiMaggio. I think it's Joe DiMaggio. But I know his dad told him that. And I think there's an element of that to Sid. And it's so hard to dominate now, right? It's so hard to dominate any sport now. Like, if Jordan Spieth wins the PGA, that's unbelievable. Because everyone's so fit.
Right, and that's something Tiger, if it happens, and I know Spieth was off to a bit of a slow start, not even Tiger accomplished before his 24th birthday.
Right, and Tiger was measurably longer than everyone else in golf when he first started out. It's impossible to be measurably longer than anyone now. Right, the technology is so good, everybody hits it a mile.
Yeah, we talk about the guys who don't hit it as far. We don't talk talk about the bombers like Daly way back in the day.
You're not
grip it and rip it.
You're not 30 yards longer than anyone else on the PGA Tour anymore. In tennis, your serve isn't 15K faster than someone else's. Like, Andy Roddick's serve was measurably faster in the early 2000s than everyone else's was. You don't have that anymore. In hockey, it's the stick technology, the fitness of the athletes. You don't take advantage of lousy fifth and sixth defensemen. It just doesn't happen. Everybody who's out there is really good. And by the way, there's 1,500 more in the American League and another 2,000 in Europe who are also knocking on the door. That's the hard thing.
All right, when we come back, see, it was 29 years ago yesterday, but we didn't have you. We had Bruce McNall on the program yesterday.
How was Bruce?
It was an awesome interview.
Did he tell you the phone call story?
Which
when he called the house to talk to Gretzky?
No.
He didn't tell you that story?
Well, we'll have to let's revisit it on the other side, because I want to get into this with you, because this was a big day for you.
It was a good and a bad day. Yeah, it was a good day and a bad day.
A good day and a bad day. But it was a big day.
Big day.
It was a big day.
Big, big day.
So we'll relive it. Let's look at it this way. We're 364 days from the 30th anniversary of the trade.
We're going to kick off the 30th anniversary celebrations of the Gretzky trade.
So we're going to kick it off with Gord Miller on the other side. He's got a great story or two from August the 9th, 1988. So we'll deal with that. Overdrive with Scott MacArthur and Gord Miller continues in a moment. You're listening to us on TSN 1050. You're streaming us on the TSN Go app. Hey, Zodog and Noodles are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament. That's Saturday, September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. And for every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center.
Do you have to play with them?
Well, if you're throwing in $20 on behalf of Team Overdrive...
Yeah,
so it would be a.
What I would do is I would throw in the $20, win, and then ask for a trade.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you would demand a trade.
I would demand a trade.
This would be quite a scene at a charity road hockey tournament.
Yeah. You know what a guy said to Scott?
I will not play for that guy
at Road Hockey to Cure Cancer. They had a draft one year. They drafted celebrities, and so this guy drafted. I swear to God, drafted George LaRocque before Scotty Bowman. And the guy said to Scotty, sorry, Scotty, I'm a huge Canadiens fan. And Scotty said, I coached him for 8 years and won 6 Stanley Cups. And the guy says, sorry. And
Scotty's like, sorry, I'm a young Canadiens fan. Is
Scotty's like, I hope you lose.
Yeah, Scotty, kind of sort of competitive.
Yeah, a little.
The way it goes.
So, yeah, that's a great, no, I want to win, but I don't want to play with Noodles and O-Dog.
All right. Gord Miller, if he gets picked... by Team Overdrive, is demanding a trade.
I've seen, Jamie's rusty, and O-Dog doesn't back check.
I'd like to see how
he's got the good hands.
I'd like to see how that's going to play out, because you know that the former goaltenders, they want to play up.
They want to play out,
But the former forwards, defensemen, they want to play net. Maybe O-Dog straps on the pads.
I've played in it, and like if it's hot... I don't know.
There could be some sweat in places he didn't know he had.
Oh, see, why'd you have to go there?
Well, because
people are going to eat here.
It's 4:30.
People are eating. Or old people are eating.
It's happy hour at Del Boca Vista, but it's not dinner time. It's not. People are caught on the 401 like you were. They're not eating dinner yet.
Where I'm from, it's almost supper time in Alberta.
There you go. Yeah. All right, we'll come back on the other side. 29 years and a day. Removed from the Wayne Gretzky to L.A. trade. We'll relive it with Gord Miller, who was, in his own way, a big part of it. And we'll do that next. Stay with us. Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app. All right, we got 2.5 hours left in the show, Gord.
It's a long show.
Yeah, it's a 3
I'm not going to lie to you.
It's a 3
Like,
hour
when Leafs
program.
Lunch went to 2 hours, that took a lot out of me.
It drained you out of your...
Really,
Wow.
If we get, in hockey, we get intermissions, right? Like, I knock off for 18 minutes every hour or so.
What are you doing those 18 minutes? You're a non-smoker, so you don't...
Yeah, I listen...
out into the winter night to...
I just sit there and I listen to the studio show. I listen to the intermission a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe talk to some people, grab a cup of water, go to the bathroom. Coffee.
There you go. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, I'm a thrill a minute on the road, yeah.
We're going to talk a little baseball on this program.
Good.
We're going to discuss, and this is a broad topic, Gord, so I'm not going to get into the specifics of it right now, but we're going to talk a little marijuana.
Okay.
All right.
Sponsored by Weed the North. Have you seen that?
Did you just... Oh, okay.
Have you seen that downtown?
No.
Oh, there's a marijuana...
Was it a big billboard?
No,
where?
No, there's a marijuana dispensary on Jarvis called Weed the North.
Really?
Yeah.
Jarvis and what?
Down near Richmond, just south of Richmond, I think.
Is it anywhere near the famous Harveys at Jarvis and Girard?
No.
Damn.
No.
Because you could kill two birds with one stone there, couldn't you? Right? Dude, if I could just get diagonally across the street, I could get an Angus burger.
No. The... channeling your inner Andy Frost there. But no, yeah, weed the North.
I like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I wanted the Raptors think of it, but.
Yeah, well, you know, it's rogue.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be laying any sort of claim to it at any point soon. We'll talk a little golf and a bunch of other things as well on the program. But 29 years ago and a day, Wayne Gretzky was traded to the LA Kings. Now, what? You didn't play a role in the trade, but you were affected by the trade. So iron this out.
So on July the 20th, 1988, Chris Cuthbert and I reported that the Oilers were discussing a trade to move Wayne Gretzky to the LA Kings. And Brian Burke, actually, I called Brian Burke that day and said, Mr. Burke, it's Gord Miller. We met.
Player agent at the time.
No, assistant GM of the Canucks.
Okay.
GM of the Canucks. Said, we met in the spring. He said, you have a question? I said, we hear the Canucks are negotiating to try to acquire Wayne Gretzky. Nope. He's going to LA, and he laid out most of the deal. And so we reported it that night. We Chris and I had both sort of independently heard about it. We reported it. The Oilers were going to sue us the whole bit. So August the 6th, I flew to Los Angeles. We were so convinced that the trade was going to happen. And the Kings had announced Bruce McNall as the owner the month before at the Sheraton Gateway or the Sheraton Airport in Los Angeles. So I booked in there. So sure enough, the trade happens August the 9th. And Wayne flies down after doing his Edmonton press conference. I have a problem at the front desk, however. My Visa card, which at that time had about a $750 limit, I was over. And so the hotel was telling me that if I didn't put some money down, I couldn't stay in the hotel that night.
And you didn't have the appropriate cash?
No.
Okay.
So I'm pleading with them, let me stay as Wayne and his agent, Mike Barnett, and their entourage walk by. And Wayne's like, what's the problem? I'm like, he pulls $500 cash out of his pocket, says to the manager, will this cover it? And the guy says, yeah, that'll cover it. And Wayne said to me, you're a mess. And he walked in and did his press conference. And so the next morning, I did an exclusive interview with him that ran on the CBS Morning News and on CBC. But before I did it, I had CBC Western Union. So kids, the way this used to work was, people would wire you money. You went to a Western Union office, you wired someone money, they went to a Western Union office on the other end, and you picked up the money. I had to pay him $500.
Way too much moving and transportation involved with that whole scene.
Yeah, you got to find Western Union.
Yeah.
Which you had to look up in the Yellow Pages. And then
the what? I know what those are.
The book you used to sit on kind to get taller.
Yeah.
And so I had to pay him back the $500 I had him. But I've always thought one of the amazing parts of that story is that the trade was actually finalized on like the 5th. So Bruce McNall, Wayne had just gotten married. So he was down in L.A. staying at a friend's house. And so McNall calls the house, and the 11-year-old son of the owner of the house answers the phone. And McNall says, I need to speak to Wayne Gretzky, please. And the kid says, I don't think I'm supposed to say he's here. And McNall said, you just did. Put him on the phone. And he said, I really don't think I... And McNall said, young man, get Wayne Gretzky and put him on the phone. So McNall talks to Gretzky and said, the deal's been finalized. We're going through with it. Do you know who the kid was?
No.
Robin Thicke. Alan Thicke's son.
No way.
He was staying at Alan Thicke's house. Robin Thicke, who, by the way, could buy us all now.
Yeah.
Robin Thicke was like 11 years old.
He was trying to blur the lines? Not. Oh.
That was long before he blurred the lines.
Okay.
We hope. And so Robin Thicke answered the phone. And he was staying with the late Alan Thicke.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, Bruce McNall did not tell that story yesterday.
Yeah.
We only had 12 minutes. I felt like we could have gone on for another.
He's an amazing guy.
20.
You know, I mean, it was there was a lot of things about Bruce that, you know, you could see how he was able to charm people. Like, it's amazing that McNall was able to convince banks to accept collateral for loans of antiquities, like old coins, that McNall himself had valued. So, Scott, I want you to loan me $100,000.
For that piece of paper.
For these sunglasses, which I think are worth $50,000.
Are they Ray-Bans?
I value these sunglasses at $50,000, and you just accept my word for it and loan me $100,000.
Sure.
Take as much as you need. Pay us back whenever you like. And that's exactly what McNall did. He was valuing the coins because he was one of the leading experts in antiquities in the world, and then using that to borrow money, which he ultimately helped trigger the savings and loan scandal, and
yes,
and a lot of people and a lot of innocent people lost money. I mean, McNall's crimes were not victimless.
No,
a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost a lot of money.
And if you think back to the Argos angle as well, it's amazing to think that 26 years ago, just 26 years ago, the guy everybody thought was going to go first overall in the NFL draft, Rocket Ishmael, ended up signing instead with the Argonauts.
Yeah.
That just would, there is no way that would ever happen today.
No. Although, no, I would say that, you know, 7 years ago, the Argos were outdrawing the Blue Jays.
No,
playing in the same stadium, but yeah.
But what I'm saying is, if you're a first overall draft pick or potential first overall draft pick in the NFL, you're not signing to play in the CFL in this day and age. No. That's no slight on the CFL.
No, it's just
a fact.
Yeah, like, I wonder if Johnny Manziel will come up.
Oh, you want to? It's funny. We can tie a bunch of things together. I said we'd talk about marijuana. We can go in 72 different directions. Manziel could factor into that conversation.
We had Doug Flutie on Overdrive. I was on with Brian Hayes, who I just met. And
Brian Hayes or Doug Flutie?
Brian Hayes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of people at TSN I've not met.
All right.
It's shocking, actually, the amount of time I spent. So it's my 15th wedding anniversary. I've only been home for like six of them. But Flutie said that of all the players he's ever seen, the player who reminds him most of himself is Johnny Manziel.
On the field.
On the field, yes. He does not run. Doug surfs. Yeah. But, you know, so, I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if he did come up?
24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
Still supposedly in his prime. Did you see where Manziel was earlier this week?
No.
So he was quoted as saying, if I can't get back into the NFL as a player, I'd be interested in coaching at the college level.
Yeah.
Where he said it was at the International Football Betting Conference in Costa Rica.
I did say
fantastic.
That. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Johnny.
You'd be perfect with young men in college.
Yeah. International Football Betting Conference in Costa Rica. Come on over. The NCAA is screaming your name.
Yeah.
Throw on a headset.
Yeah.
Go to work.
I think he'll try to play again.
Yeah. Well, when you're that young, you can get back into shape. It's hard to give it up.
So did the Gretzky story let you down, or was it?
No, it was great.
It was all you're hoping for?
No,
I feel like it's kind of a letdown for you.
That and so much more.
There you go.
It was everything I was hoping for. But we got baseball, we got marijuana to talk about, as I said. Jack Zarenchik, the former GM of the Seattle Mariners, will join us next hour. He's working on, I think, Root Sports in Pittsburgh now. The Pirates are actually playing, so he might actually be working right now. He'll join us after that game is over. Jeremy Fowler is a senior NFL writer for ESPN, specifically covering the Steelers.
Yes.
There's now the GM of the Steelers is weighing in on the Le'Veon Bell situation.
I'd be very careful pushing the Steelers.
Yeah.
I'd be real. Like, there's some NFL teams I wouldn't be too shy about.
The Rooney family, stability.
Yeah.
BS.
They have a very clear sort of, I was in their stadium last year. I went to a Steelers game last year.
The ketchup bottle.
Yeah. The ketchup bottle, yeah. And it's very clear that they don't put any value on individuals there. There's no retired numbers up. There's no honored numbers up. It is a very, you know, it's a football stadium. You go there to watch football, drink beer, and eat. There's no Steelers Hall of Fame no.
They just got rings, man.
They just got
rings. And consistent.
And three head coaches in the last, like, 35 years.
1969. My team, the 49ers, four head coaches last 4 years. The Steelers, three head coaches since 1969. Not bad. We got the Sound Wars to get to on the other side. Stay with us as we wrap up hour number one and prepare for hour number two of Overdrive. Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller. This is TSN 1050. You're streaming us on the TSN Go app.
It's time for a TSN 1050 Sound War.
Whoa, I didn't get that one!
This is the worst one for sure.
4:51, you're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050, streaming us on the TSN Go app. Scott MacArthur and Gord Miller, and well, the intro didn't lie. It is time for a TSN 1050 Sound War. But first, the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between We Got a Guy and Answer the Question is
What do you think, honestly, the players would say if you say, you can go, but if you come back hurt and can't play, you don't get paid?
Let's begin with that. There's been approximately 500 NHL players.
Answer the question, Steve. Would the players share in the financial risk? Answer the question, Steve. Would the players share in the financial risk? Answer the question.
This isn't about risk.
Answer the question, Steve.
So Nailers, answer the question, Steve, wins 53% to 47% for We Got a Guy. So now, the best sound bites once again go head-to-head, which allow you to decide which one survives this TSN 1050 Sound Wars. It's brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager. This is soundbite seed number 2 versus seed number 15. Soundbite number 2. Westwood One's radio play-by-play man, Kevin Harlan, made an uninteresting Monday night football game between the 49ers and Rams exciting thanks to a drunken fan.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. He's running down the middle by the 50. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, that was a great call on your part.
All right, Kevin Harlan. And now, soundbite number 15. At his Calder Trophy acceptance speech, Austin Matthews gives credit to an entire nation of fans.
Last but not least, the city of Toronto, Leafs Nation. You guys are the best fans in the league, so thank you.
I love Kevin Harlan's call, but Austin, man, always got to defer to Austin. He's already the GOAT, Gore.
I'm sorry?
No, we'll get Ben. Go to tsn1050.ca, click on Sound Wars.
Whoa, now. Hold on.
And vote for your favorite soundbite, seed number 2, fan on the field, or seed number 15, Matthew's Calder speech. Voting for this Sound War closes tomorrow at 8 a.m., and then listen to Naylor and Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sound Wars battle on TSN 1050. Sound Wars is brought to you by Old Tomorrow's new Lighter Up Light Lager at select Loblaws grocery stores. We'll get to Jack Zaretschik and a bunch more in hour number 2 of Overdrive. Stay with us. Scott MacArthur, Gord Miller, TSN 1050, the TSN Go app.